Jeff put me on the schedule, gosh, a couple, 2 or 3 months ago. And at that time, I was kind of wondering what in the heck to teach on. I had some thoughts. And I had to really pass them. I didn't, when you talk to Jeff and say, Jeff, what do you want us to teach on? Kevin will say the same thing, whoever gets up here. He doesn't give you an answer. He just, whatever you want. You know, and so it really forces us to hear what the Holy Spirit's trying to say and what and where we're at the time. So at the time, and I still am, but at the time I was really wanting and searching out biblical truth. I want to know the truth, what the Bible says about stuff, specifically social stuff, what we're up against on a daily basis that we are supposed to embrace as Christians, that we are supposed to be tolerant as Christians. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go that direction. I wanted something not real controversial. I wanted something that we can go deep with, that we can just kind of, what does it say? What does biblical truth say? No specifics, just kind of social stuff. What does the Bible say about abortion? What does the Bible say about homosexuality? What does the Bible say about drugs? All this stuff is right, marijuana specifically. All this stuff is in our face 24 hours a day that we're supposed to embrace and be tolerant of. So I was kind of going that way, looking at some stuff, but nothing came together. Nothing at all. So I always take that of, no, don't go that direction, because nothing was happening. For me, yes, but trying to put it together, no. So then I started seeking out the Lord. What do you want me to do? A quick hint. No, never mind, I won't say that. So we aren't going to talk on that. I'll let somebody else do that. That's okay. If I was going to, I'd give you Jeff's email and phone number and you can complain to him, but we're not going to do that. So I really had to really search the Holy Spirit of what did you want me to do? Because I wanted, it was all about me. I wanted something deep. I wanted, because it forces us, Kevin could even say the same thing, whoever gets up here, it forces us to go further and further into the Word. What does the Word say? So I was ready, I thought. And I still am, of course, but I wanted something deep. I wanted to go further. I wanted to teach on something where people say, oh, that was so awesome, and people fell to the floor and wrote about it. It was still all about me. And the Lord won't do that. I mean, and I've learned that. So I just had to go on and look and figure, and I was getting more and more frustrated. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Because nothing seemed to be coming through. I have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit. And there are times where he really starts revealing things to me. And so I was really frustrated. And I told him that. I'm frustrated. And so on this one particular day, October 2nd, I listened to podcasts, and I was listening to a podcast from Bethel. His name is Chris Vallanton, that's it, from Bethel. He did a teaching on September 28th, and I got it on October 2nd. And the Holy Spirit said, listen to this. And his title, and I do recommend listening to it, the title of his was, Does God Know You? I thought, now that's an interesting thought. Does God know me? And it really struck something just by reading the title. So I listened to him. And it was really interesting. Because then I started questioning, does God know me? It's those stupid questions. You know, Patrick, I don't think he does know you. Really? You know, he knows somebody else, but, you know, you're having a hard time with them. It's those stupid questions. But he taught out of Mark 7, 21 through 23. And I'm going to read it. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. on judgment day, many will say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. So that was kind of his basis. The thing that got me was what I put in red. But I will reply, I never knew you. I thought, wow, that's pretty harsh. Because these guys walked with him daily. They did that. He said, I never knew you. Can you imagine those guys hearing that from the Lord, that they've been walking with him and saying, I never knew you? So that really got me, the word knew. And I had to kind of work through that, of what that meant. Chris went over a lot of the sub-meanings of know and knew in the Hebrew and in the Greek and such. And I'm not going to do that. I suggest you go listen to it. But there are plenty of what he did. He went into Genesis. It's been a long time since I've been in Genesis, but I went in there. It says, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord called to the man, where are you? I thought that was quite interesting, that the Lord, we're taught from all the time, is that the Lord knows everything. Our names are written in the book. He knows where we're at. He knows what we're doing. He knows what's happening. But when he was walking through the garden, he called out, where are you? And Chris really kind of talked about that. This really, I think, talks about a relationship between Adam and God. God gave Adam everything. He gave him the garden. He told him, you're going to name all the animals. He just gave him everything. So you have to imagine that throughout his, I don't know if he was growing up, because Adam became Adam, he spoke with them often. They walked together often. They had this deep, intimate relationship. It's how do you not, when it's just you and God in this beautiful place? The main thing that I got out of that is their relationship. God's relationship with Adam. After the apple incident, the fall, things changed. We know that. We know what changed. Remember, he said, don't eat that apple. He created the tree. Satan didn't create the tree. He created that tree. But he said, don't eat the apple. Don't do it. But they did. That was pretty bad. So God went searching for them. Remember now, God should know where they're at. And he calls them out. Where are you? He knew they already ate the apple. He knows that. But he's still saying to Adam, where are you? Adam, of course, we know the story. Adam, of course, was hiding. It says earlier on when they ate the apple, Adam and Eve were ashamed and they covered themselves, made fig leaves. But Adam was hiding. I like a little thing. I like it said when the cool evening breezes were blowing. It gives a great picture. I mean, what I picture of the garden. I mean, I could just picture, you know, the breezes coming through. We see it. Picture your favorite place where you're at, out in the woods or in the trees and such. I really believe when God was saying, Adam, where are you? He was asking out of his heart. Adam, where is your heart? I asked you not to do this. I told you not to do this, but you did it anyway. Where are you, Adam? He already knew. Where's your heart toward me? Of course, they were covered when he came out to talk to God. Then God asked the other questions. His other questions. Who said you were naked? Because before they ate the apple, naked was, that was just it. Naked was naked. But now all of a sudden they're ashamed because they ate that. And he asked the question, have you eaten from the tree? Of course they have. That's why they were hiding. He knows they already ate from the tree. But Adam knew he had to answer him. He had to be honest. Yes, he actually kind of blamed Eve a little bit. But he answered it. Adam and Eve both confessed that they did this. So, I mean, I had just this little, was that the first repentant to God? That they confess, yes, God, we ate the apple, that you told us not to do it. Could be. I thought that was interesting. So you know the rest of the story, all the bad stuff, especially to you ladies that gave birth. You know things bad were going to happen. There's consequences to what Adam did, Adam and Eve did. But there was still such a great relationship between God, it shows us that he will never leave. That in verse 21, after saying all the bad things that are going to happen, all the consequences of eating the apple, in verse 21, he clothed them. He gave them clothes. Still loved them. But things were going to happen. So it's a relationship that Adam had with God. It's a deep relationship. It's a major heart issue. It's very, I mean, it's real similar. We can go through the word and the 10 virgins and waiting for them, for the Lord to come, or the king to come, excuse me, the bridegroom to come, and five didn't do what they were supposed to do, and five stored up, and they went to the doors, five went in, five went looking, they knocked. And said, I didn't know you, but now we have oil, but I didn't know you. It's still a hard issue. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. It's an intimate time. I really believe he wants to know where our hearts are. Where we've used in the past, Jeff has, of who has your heart. And we had big, long teachings on that. But he wants to know that. He wants to know what our relationship is with him. A relationship is two-way street. We know that. It isn't one way. It isn't just giving or just getting. It needs to be really intimate. Relationship, definition. A relation between people. I put on there Adam and Eve, disciples and Jesus. They had a deep relationship. They lived together, the disciples and Jesus. State of connectedness between people. Relatedness or connection by blood or marriage or adoption. I put on the cross, marriage, and adoption. Everything that as we walk through the cross, the marriage, as it said, and then adoption, that we were grafted in or we were adopted in. Thought that was interesting about the relationship. We invite him into our lives. You can think back that time, saying, yes, Lord, come. I understand. I know. So we invite him into our lives. He wants us to live life with him also. He wants us to live in that area. So after after weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of searching, what I wanted to do, this came up, so I listened to it. And I said, well, Lord, I don't want to go on Chris's teaching. I mean, it was really good, but that's grabbing all things off. And I could go into a lot more scriptures to back a lot of what he said. And I did myself, went looking. That's part of my biblical truth. I had to go and make sure that, and I haven't seen anything with Bethel, so I don't question them very often at all. But again, it's just for my own teaching. And so I started questioning, is that what you want me to do? Is that what you want me to do? And there was no answers. No answers. And I really dislike when I don't get an answer. When I don't get an answer from Tammy, I dislike it. When I don't get an answer from my mom, which is often now, I really dislike it. I want to know what to do. Because I want things put together. I want them in order to start now and continue on. But nothing was happening. So I thought, I took that as a sign of just go off by yourself and do what you want. He gives us that free will. So I said, well, I'll go back to that biblical truth thing. I really got a strong no, stop. So I thought, at least he's talking to me. You gotta understand, he talks to me completely different than he talks to you, and vice versa. It's just the way that he does with me. And I know when he means something kind of harsh with me in my words. So I was just going on and on and on, getting more and more discouraged. I called Jeff and said, Jeff, I don't think I want to do this. Which you don't do that to Jeff either, especially when he has you on the schedule. Something bad has to happen for him to take you off the schedule. So I was thinking of something bad that could happen, but nothing. And one day, just a few weeks ago, I was in this place just kind of driving. When I drive, I can get into, I call it my zone, and just start having this dialogue with the Holy Spirit. Some of those are the best times, and you guys get that as well. Some of those are the best times. He's always talking to us if we open our ears. We understand that. But this dialogue started, and I was really excited because I knew something was going to come about on this. And most of the time when we pray, give him this grocery list, and we go on with our day. We don't spend any time just listening, stopping and listening. And it's real difficult for me to stop in the middle of I-5 and listen, so I have to plan my spots where I'm going to stop and listen. But this day, he was just talking. I kind of put it, it reminded me, it's like, man, you chatty Kathy. I couldn't get a word in edgewise, it seemed like. It just download stuff. I had some visions. It was just amazing. Just one of the most fun times I've had with the Lord. And so again, I knew something was gonna come up. So I asked. I finally got time. I said, "What do you want me to teach on? It's coming up on the 16th. It's only a little ways away." And there was nothing. It's like my dialogue, my conversation just stopped. Then I started asking introspective for me. Do I have some unrepentant sin that I'm not? That I haven't dealt with yet? Have I offended somebody? Have I done all this stuff? It's, again, those stupid questions that we often ask ourselves. Got out, went to see a customer. I was with him for about an hour, got back in my truck. Thanks. And he said, I heard it right when I started my truck. He said, I want you to teach on this. So I was waiting. Nothing. This what? I want you to teach on this. Okay, what is this? And then again, for about a day and a half, there was nothing. I just want you to teach on this. That's all I kept hearing. And so I just took it to him and said, you're making me angry. Because I don't know what this is. I had no clue what this is. He said, this is what I want to teach on, is the communication that you and I are having, is the relationship that you and I are having, that you can come to me and tell me anything, because I want to know your heart. Yeah, I know how you're feeling, Patrick, but I want to know your heart. I want to have this dialogue with you. I want to talk with you. That is a relationship that we have to yearn for, is that kind of being able to go to him for anything. So he said, I want you to do this. He said, I want you to tell them three things. Know my voice. Talk to me, and really talk to me. Because we all talk to him. We do. And obey my voice. Thought those were pretty easy. Because over the last few months, that's where I've been. Of knowing his voice. Understanding his voice. You've seen me come up here sometimes, grab the mic, and have a word for somebody. When that first started, and it still does, it scares the heck out of me. When the Lord says, I have this, say it. But I learned I have to do it. I feel better now, and It used to be when someone would do that, or when I would do that, I'd write a note and hand it to the person. Or I'd go to them and just say something. I wouldn't do it like this. But that isn't how the Holy Spirit, for me, works in me. I have to grab the mic and say it. Because he's taken me somewhere else. He's taken me, but he's also showing. It's not about me. It's about advancing his kingdom. It's about advancing what he is doing. So we have to do that. I have to do that. So that's what we're going to talk on tonight. In John 10, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold, and Renee did this on communion, I think, last week, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and his sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. We've heard it time and time again. Jesus is often spoke about as the shepherd. We've had teachings up here about that. Those sheep know the shepherd's voice. We are the sheep. We have to know his voice. It is imperative as the coming days come to an end that we know his voice. Now, his voice is going to be different to you than it is to me, and you have to know what it is. I think some of us know really well, and I knew right away when I became a Christian, but some people struggle with what is his voice. Is that him? Is it not? Is it him? Is it not? We have to know because he's going to use each and every one of us in the coming days that that's his voice. We have to know when somebody walks through that door and gets up here and grabs the mic from Jeff or something, is that person speaking truth? Is that from the Lord or is it not? We're going to have to know when our leaders say something. We're going to have to know. And eventually we're going to have to know the voice of the Antichrist and the voice of Christ. We're going to have to know. The word tells us that a certain number are going to fall away because they did not know the voice. They didn't know their shepherd's voice. In Psalm 95, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. He talks to us every single day. We need to be talking to him every single day. And I know it's hard. I'm there too. My dad passed away about 6 years ago. 6 years ago in a couple weeks. And it was really hard. It was a hard time. So I'm turning 50 in a little bit, six. So I was raised by my dad for 44 years. I spent almost every day with him unless he was overseas. I knew his voice. I knew when he was happy. I really knew when he was angry. My brothers really, really knew when he was angry. And that's why I didn't do some of what they did. I didn't like the angry at all. But I knew his voice. I was with him every day. I could talk to him every day. I could tell him how I felt every day. He could tell me. It was that relationship thing that I was talking about earlier, how intimate that is. The conversation that we could have back and forth. When I could ask him a question. And yeah, he may not answer it right away, just like if we pray a question, may not get the answer right away. And there were many times Dad didn't give me the answer right away, or the answer I didn't want to hear. He had some of those as well. Remember one time, a few times, I played football for these guys, the Columbians. Isn't that cool? Right across the river. Although our mascot was better looking than that one. That's the only one I could find. Couldn't find an older one. But everyone's been to a football game. You know how loud it is. I was playing football. And I could still hear my dad. I could still pick his voice out. out of the crowd. He usually always sat down on the front when he wasn't doing the PA or the announcing. When he was doing that, I really heard his voice. But when he was just in the stands, I could hear him yelling at me. I could pick out his voice because of the relationship that him and I've had for such a long time and spending time with him for such a long time. It's really odd, after he died, there would be times where I'd be still in a crowd and I'd hear a voice. It sounds like Dad. There was one time about 2 years ago, I was at a football game down at University of Oregon. It was so clear I had to turn around and look. Nobody was there. It's just one of those weird things. And, you know, I've had dreams when my dad was in it, especially with dealing with stuff with my mom. And it's a voice that, for me, I know. And if he walked through, I'd just follow it because I know his voice. That's the kind of relationship and the knowledge that we have to have of God's voice. But Moses protested again. What if they won't believe? This is in Exodus. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, Lord never appeared to you? This was a dialogue that Moses had with God. God wanted him to do something. And then he started protesting. This is what it says. Moses protested again. Oh, Lord, I really don't want to do this. You could send my brother. No, I don't. Well, Lord, what about this? They're going to say I never talked to you. Well, you're going to do this. On and on, this dialogue for quite a bit. It was a conversation between both. It wasn't Lord saying, you're going to do this, and off he goes. He was human. He still had this conversation with him. Jonah's the same way. God said, you're going to do this, Jonah. What'd Jonah do? He turned and went the other way. Got swallowed by a fish, got spit up on a beach, and then did what God said. I think I would rather do what God said first before getting swallowed by the fish. But this is, again, the relationships that these biblical people had that we also have to have. Moses whined and whined and whined, but he did what he was supposed to do, finally. Finally. God was reassuring to Moses, just always saying, it's going to be okay. Patrick's paraphrase, I'm not going right off this here. That it's going to be okay. You can do this. You can do this. And he just kept going back and forth, back and forth. Many years ago, not very many people know this, many years ago, I was going through some, because of the relationship I have with God, it's amazing. I've had these kind of things. It's not about me. It's just how I do. Many years ago, Tim and I were going through some major financial stuff. Just a lot of stuff, just bad luck. You've always heard, you know, if you didn't have bad luck, you wouldn't have any luck at all. It's kind of where we were at. It was just ugly. So I got in my trusty old minivan. And when we all had minivans with our kids, stinking little eggs. So I got in the minivan. I headed to Willow Grove. Didn't know what I was going to do. I just wanted to go to Willow Grove. And so I parked right at the boat ramp. And I was just, I didn't know what to do. I wasn't calling out to God, but I was weeping probably heavier than I've ever wept and crying. And then the fleeting thought, because Satan knows, the fleeting thought is, just put it in drive and go. The river is right in front of me. That fleeting thought of, yeah, that would maybe solve everything. And it could have. But probably bad luck, that stupid minivan would just float and not do anything. But at that moment, I didn't do it. But right after that, it's like, talk to me. Almost in a verbal, like someone was sitting behind me, talk to me. I didn't take anything to him. That's when I went to him. Lord, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this. I'm angry. I'm angry with you. We were told earlier on when Katie was going through some of her stuff, It's okay to be angry with God. Let him know. Ask him, how are we going to... I need you. That's what he's there for. I need you to show me, to help me. Things turned around. Thank goodness. But again, it's that conversation with him that I was able to have, that anybody can have with him, because he wants that kind of relationship. He wants that heart relationship with everybody that's in here. So that was really tough. And there's also, and there's times when he just says, are you going to talk to me? If you hear that voice, are you going to talk to me? I would suggest you talk to him. It's probably a pretty good idea, because he wants to tell you something, and he wants to know how you feel. He wants to know your heart. He wants that. He already knows it. He knows what we're going to ask for before we ask for it. But he wants us to ask. He wants us to go to him. He wants us to reveal what we're feeling in that way. He wants to know us. During that time, I couldn't go to anyone. My history had showed sometimes you go to somebody almost kind of like a Job thing. You get these three friends and they start telling you these things. Oh, gosh. Yeah. I didn't go to anyone because that's probably what would happen. They'd start saying, do this, do that, do this. Maybe you did this, this, this. Instead of going to the one that you actually need to go to. For me, which was God. In Ecclesiastes, obey the king since you vowed to God that you would. Don't try to avoid doing your duty, and don't stand with those who plot evil. For the king can do whatever he wants. His command is backed by great power. No one can resist or question it. Those who obey him will not be punished. Those who are wise will find a time and a way to do what is right. For there is a time and a way for everything, even when a person is in trouble. Indeed, how can people avoid what they don't know is going to happen? This verse, this I really like, because it's just so stinking true. I mean, it says, this isn't a message, by the way. Don't try to avoid doing your duty, and don't stand with those who plot evil. Don't try to avoid doing your duty. If the Lord says, do X, it's probably wise to do X, whatever it is. If you know that voice and it stands up with the word, because if the Lord says, you know, go jump off, or if you hear a voice, go jump off the bridge, it probably isn't the Lord. You're probably not hearing his voice. That isn't it. But when the Lord says, go do this, and you know it, then you really have to do that. There was a time I was sitting back there, and the Lord gave me a word for the body. Can't remember what it was. Have no clue. But I refused. Said, no, that I'm not going to do it. And so for about a half hour, it just continued, then it just stopped. 5 minutes later, Mike Fox got up and said the exact thing that the Lord told me to say. The exact thing. I was disobedient to what he said and what he called me to do as one of his children to go and do this. He got the point across through somebody else that was willing to grab the mic. That started, for me, a time of quiet. Yeah, I still had the dialogues, still talked to him, but the words to do something like that, or they just stopped. I was not a good steward of the word that he gave me. I didn't allow it to happen. Me. But again, it's not about me, it's about him. He found Mike, Mike did it, and that advanced his kingdom. Somehow, it did. But I didn't do it. It's the same thing when he gives me a word. I had a word for someone tonight, and a person's not here tonight. And so I was back there and I said, Lord, you gave me this word Thursday to tell him. So I'll write it out. He said, no, just save it. Because there'll come a time that he needs to hear it. thought that was great, that that was gracious of the Lord saying, just save it. Because I would have wrote it out or I would have called him. And I was going to do that. I'll just write it and drop it off at his house. Nope. He'll be in the same room with you one of these days. Okay. I got a same thing. I got a word to give this one of my customers. And that's a real hard thing to do. Because then you have this professional thing going on. I'm just waiting for the Lord to say now. I kind of think she's a believer, so that's kind of good. Because I mentioned, I threw a little tidbit thing out there. I walked into their big office and there was no one there. So I waited around for about 10 minutes and she came in and a couple other guys came in. And they said, oh, Patrick, you're here. And I said, yeah. I said, it's almost like everyone was raptured and I was stuck in hell with you, nobody here. And she said, you thought we'd left you behind. There's a little clue. Maybe she knows something. Because that is, a general person wouldn't think that. They just wouldn't. So now I'm kind of excited when the Lord says, yeah, I'm going to have that opportunity. Because it's going to be fun. But again, you have that professional thing. But if it is from him, it's his word, that's something I don't have to worry about. Because he's saying for me to do it, I just have to be obedient and let him take care of everything else that falls to the wayside. For quite some time, I wasn't getting a whole lot of words. So I had to figure out why. Has anyone heard of Candy Crush on Facebook? You don't have to raise your hand if you play it. I played it a lot. I mean, a lot. My day kind of consisted of getting up in the morning, having some breakfast. Tammy would come out, and we'd talk about our day. I'd be sitting on the computer playing my first round of Candy Crush. Get to that next level. I was pretty good, too. I had some high numbers. And I also like playing that the other little level where the little bird falls off if you don't get the right combinations. I don't know what it's called now. But I was good. So I'd play Candy Crush as Tammy would be getting me ready to go to work. Go to work, lunchtime, pull out my old smartphone, Candy Crush time. More Candy Crush. And then I'd play at night. I mean, just... oh my gosh, I was addicted to Candy Crush. I was addicted to a lot of Facebook stuff, just being on there so much. I'm still on Facebook. It's not from the devil, like Jeff says. It's just how I use it. When I was playing Candy Crush, and there's another game I played, Megapolis. No one else played it. It seemed like I was the only one in the world playing it. You had to build these cities, and you got to build skyscrapers and collect taxes and do all this stuff. It was so much fun. But I spent way too much time on it. Way too much time. So I just heard somebody talking. Talking about, I don't remember what it was. But I left here that night. I was here. I left here that night. Got home. Sat down on my recliner. Got on Facebook. Deleted Candy Crush. Deleted Megapolis. Deleted the stuff that I had to. Some people can play Candy Crush and they're fine. It's awesome. And I'm not, play it to your heart's content. But for me, I couldn't. It took the time away. It took my time away. So why don't I listen and obey? It's probably because of this. I was distracted. Wonder why I don't hear from the shepherd anymore. Earphones on, he's reading Sheep Digest, watching TV. The Bible's right down there, right below the radio. There's stuff covering the Bible. We have to spend time. We have to fight against this. It's all over. I had to fight against it. Some people, it's really easy, and I envy you. Well, I can't envy you. That's bad, too. So you know, if you guys, wonderful. I'm not speaking bad against it or not. But for me, I had to find where my crutch was that was taking time away from him. Not allowing me to hear his voice clearly. He still spoke, but was it clear? Was it what needed to happen? Was it what needed to be done to advance the kingdom, to advance his kingdom? So those are what I had to do. We have to realize, as we're coming up to the days, I'm just about finished up here. I am excited for the end days. But I'm not afraid, but I'm excited because we're going to go through a lot and we're going to have to hear him. We're going to have to lean on each other. We're going to have to lean on him. And I want to know that I'm hearing his voice right. I want to know that when Rick says something, that that's the Lord's voice that I'm hearing. And he's going to speak to me and us in so many ways, through music. He's going to speak to us through people, through us, through our family. We're going to have to know, is that what somebody just said? Is that actually from the Holy Spirit? I'm excited, but yet anxious, because I still question sometimes, is that really your voice? And we have to go to people and ask. If we have to ask and take it and say, this is what I've heard. Is this the Lord's voice? Am I hearing incorrectly? Moving our times to Sunday morning hasn't been a quick process. It's been a process of the elders asking, is this what the Holy Spirit is saying? Is this the voice of the Lord? We have to ask those questions. And I think people have a right reason to ask, are you guys sure you're hearing the voice of the Lord? And with everything lining up biblically, and the visions and the dreams, yeah, for this specific thing, yes. I'm excited for that as well. This online giving that Rick talked about, that was another thing. For some, it's like, let's just do it. It's just online giving. But you know what? It's something that we had to pray through as well. Is this what we wanted to do? Does this fit within where we're going, strengthening families? Everything pointed to yes. For some of us, we don't care about that. I'm still going to write a check and put it in the big baskets. That's fine. But for some, they don't have checks. But it's still an act of worship. And for some, they know that. Like, how can we do this? We don't have checks. So, I mean, it's those kind of things. Are we hearing correctly from the voice of the Lord? That's why it's nice to even go to people that you trust and love. Is this correct? So my prayer to you guys is really, if you don't know or have questions on the voice of the Lord in your life, go to him. Don't wait any longer. Because I will assure you that you will have words to give to this body. Some of you already do. And it's hard to get up and grab a mic and say it. But the Lord wants you to. Dan, you want to come back up? Don't waste any more time. Because we're getting there. And I'd just soon go through this stuff coming up in the end days with all of you. Not a third of you being gone. So Lord, I thank you for, I just pray that you speak to us. Lord, if there's anyone in this room that struggles with hearing your voice in their life, that you just make it clear. You say you'll come to us in a still small voice. Lord, I pray that if we can't hear that small voice, that it be a clanging drum, a clanging cymbal. Let us know, let us grow in that. Lord, and just be there. Thank you, Lord.